Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Great. How many of you were here last week? Okay, so for those of you who weren't, we had an interesting experience. 3 minutes before the service, the power went out completely on the whole block. So it was kind of like, okay, you know, if Jesus did it, we can do it, whatever. You know, we don't need power. We don't need power here. So anyway, we had a great service. But for those of you who left as soon as we were done, the power came back on 3 minutes after the service was over, which is, I thought it was a fundamentalist plot. But, you know, anyway, it was very interesting. Very interesting service. The title of my talk this morning is Giving Credit Where Credit is Due. And I chose that title because I believe that there's some confusion among people in this teaching about how the co-creative process really works. I think a lot of us get a little confused about what part God is supposed to handle and what part we are supposed to handle in the co-creative process. And this becomes especially complicated, or at least it appears to be, when we also throw in all these catchy little buzz phrases that you hear around here so much. We are all individual expressions of the only God there is. We are the way God works in the world. All those different New Thought statements. Because if we are at the spiritual level, if we are all individual expressions of God, we have to figure out where the God part stops and the us part begins. All right, or how all that works. I mean, in one way, we are not God, as some people accuse us of saying, because we have certain human limitations, obviously. But in other ways, we are a part of God because we share the same intelligence, the same passion for life, and the same potential for healing and loving and creating and things like that, that this power that we call God has. So as a normal human being, and I use the term loosely for some of us, sometimes we're at a loss about how we're supposed to be living and dealing with all the stuff we have to deal with in the physical world on a regular basis. So we end up wondering, are we supposed to just sit back and let things happen? Or are we supposed to present a clear and specific outline to God in order to get what we want in life? So the question becomes, do we let go and let God do whatever God wants to do, make all the decisions, like what kind of a job we have, how much money do we have, who do we spend our life with, or whether we stay healthy or catch some sort of a disease? Or is our part to work on getting a very clear mental image of exactly what we want and how to get it, and believe strongly in its complete manifestation, expecting that our beliefs are going to become our reality? Now, obviously, part of the problem comes from our old religious beliefs about how the world works, the brainwashing we all got when we were young. From the time we were very small children, most of us were taught that creating and running the world was God's job, and our job was to try to keep out of trouble while trying to figure out what God wanted us to do or not to do. That's the way I was taught, anyway. So if things happened to us or around us that we didn't like, we had very limited options, all right? Either we could just accept the way things were, all right, and suffer through it, however that, whatever that looked like, and hope for the best. That was one possibility. Or else we could beg God. And how did we beg God? Through prayer. That's what the prayer was that I was taught early on. You know, we beg God to either fix things, to improve things, or at least to stop throwing them at us so fast so we could kind of catch our breath and deal with them a little bit better. So that was pretty much it. The options we had when we were young, we were taught you either suffer or beg. That was the old way of thinking. Now, fortunately, most of us, especially those of us who have gotten into this kind of a teaching that takes a little more personal responsibility and a little more thinking, have finally figured out, or we did at one point, that this doesn't work for us anymore. All right, at least I found that out, and I'm sure you did too, because we knew that there was something inside of us, we could feel it, some sort of an awareness that we could only call spiritual, for lack of a better term, that told us over and over that we were more than just passive beings meant to live a painful and limited life unless God decided otherwise. So as we started to shift our thinking, and for some it was easier than others, we started to think differently about God, differently about ourselves, and differently about how life actually seemed to work, we started noticing some things. We started noticing a much stronger connection between the invisible part of our life in here and the visible part of our life that existed out there. Or I love how my teacher, Dr. Kennedy Schultz, used to say it. He said things really changed in his life when he first got in this teaching, and he began to realize that whenever something bad happened in his life, the one common denominator was he was there. Okay? All right? That's what he said, which is a pretty big clue as to where the problem arises. All right? It's a pretty big clue. Of course, on the other hand, to be honest, whenever anything good happened in his life, he was there too. So it became pretty obvious to him, as it probably did to you and to me, that we were not just part of the problem or part of the solution, we were part of the process. You get the difference? We're a part of the process. In other words, we brought something to the table simply by virtue of being here and alive that wouldn't have been there if we weren't here. And what we brought was intelligence, creativity, and desire. Intelligence, creativity, and desire. And as we grew in consciousness, grew in awareness, hopefully we discovered that when we used these things, intelligence, creativity, and desire, in a positive and healthy way, things worked out pretty well. And when we used them in a self-centered, negative, or fearful way, things turned out not so well. That was kind of the formula that determined how all of the different parts of our life were going. It wasn't a matter of whether God liked us or not, or what religion we were, or whether we said the right prayers in the right language and the right body position, all right? What happened in our life was not random. It wasn't random. The outcome was determined by what we were thinking and what we were feeling. That was a big part of it. Excuse me. But it was also a matter of faith. And when I say faith, I mean faith in terms of how firmly we believed in the process and that we are part of the process. But that was primarily a matter of our consciousness and how clearly it was focused and what it was specifically focused on. So instead of creation in our life just being something that we showed up for and had done unto us, as we were taught, we began to see life as a conscious process that we directed, or at least we directed a lot of it. And not only do we give the process direction, we also set in motion the creative power of life that uses this process to do whatever it needs to do to create whatever we desire. But it does so using an intelligence that is greater than anything we know. Very, very important to realize. Now, this is a difficult concept for some people to accept, probably because we've been trained to think that we have to have certain answers and certain things done before we can find a workable solution to a problem. We've somehow gotten the impression that the answer, when we need one, always has to come from things that we already know or from what we think is possible. When the truth of the matter is, the best answers to many questions in life come from areas where we didn't know anything at all. There's a lot more we don't know than we do know, or else they came from a direction that we didn't expect. Now, if you read history, I love to read history, you can find all sorts of examples where the most brilliant inventions, the most beautiful paintings, the most powerful forces for change, and the most creative responses to many different problems have almost always been a surprise. They were, to the world. Something happened that had never happened before. The answers came in ways that no one had anticipated except the visionaries, of which there are a few. I mean, 50 years ago, even 20 years ago, all right, no one would have predicted things like the smartphone or the internet or self-driving cars, at least at the level that they're starting to show up here in our world. Now, the other side of the coin is no one was able to predict the problems that we would have to deal with today either. Things like rising oceans, terrorism, North Korea, ransomware, you know, nobody could foresee any of those things. The truth is, every single age has its problems, just like each one of us has our own unique problems. But the key to solving our problems, the key to solving it, is the understanding that what we call our problems are nothing more or less than catalysts for growth. They're nothing more than the universe showing us that we need to know more. In other words, if we would just learn to start seeing our challenges as signposts, or lighthouses, whatever you want, that are beckoning us to discover amazing possibilities that we never knew existed, we could stop being angry or afraid about what is and start getting excited about what could be. And here's the fun part, the really fun part. The answers we're looking for don't have to come to us in some miraculous form, okay? They don't have to be delivered by an angel. They don't have to be channeled through anybody, okay, these answers. In fact, the answers won't come from anywhere because they're already here. The answers themselves are already here. We just have to shift our focus a little so we could see something that we couldn't see before. Now, part of the reason we find it so difficult to think this way on the global scale, which we certainly do, is because we don't practice thinking this way on a personal scale as we deal with all the little things that we deal with going on in our daily life. I mean, it's fairly easy to sit back and count on God to provide the grand spiritual solution to genocide, wherever it happens to be, or global hunger, or world peace. I mean, after all, these are what we might call God-level problems. That's the way most people think of them. Now, we know we're going to have to do something eventually with all this stuff, but for now, these problems are so big and they've been around so long that most of us just kind of shrug our shoulders and hope for the best. Or hope for somebody else to do something about it, which is really too bad when you consider how powerful one single individual can be. I mean, it isn't until we start thinking openly and creatively in every single part of our own lives, in every single part of our lives, that this new way of thinking is going to start expanding and working on a bigger scale. Now, there are a bunch of different examples, but I'm going to give you one. This is a personal example. Story happened number of years ago. And it happened after a fundraising event that we had over, I think it was over in Candler Park or somewhere, and I had purchased a few items and I was taking them to my car. It was probably 9 o'clock or so in the evening in the summer, so just starting to get dark. And I saw five or six guys from the event who had been there at the event who were standing around an SUV that was parked on the street. And one of the guys I knew from church, had known for years, was sitting behind the steering wheel with the driver's door open. So I dropped the stuff off of my car, and I went over there, and I said something like, don't you guys have anything better to do than to hang around the streets at night and yada, 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 just kind of being, you know, being funny. And one of them said, we're waiting for AAA. The car won't start. So that's when the friend of mine, who we had known each other for years, in the seat looked at me, and he smiled, and he said, how good a practitioner are you? All right. So I looked at the car, and the first thought that came to my mind was, this car really does want to start. This car really does want to start. That's what I was thinking. So I closed my eyes, and I said to myself in my best practitioner self-voice, okay, there is a spiritual solution to this problem, and I am completely open to it. And then I said to him, you mind if I try it? He says, sure. He got out. I get in the car. I said, you're going to have to give me the keys. I'm not that good, okay? So he gave me the keys, and I turned the ignition. And at that moment, I knew it would start. I believed it. I knew it, but it didn't, okay? I mean, it rumbled a little bit, so there was juice in the battery, but it still wouldn't turn over. And I said, it sounds like it's out of gas. And he said, well, I don't think so, because the yellow light, you know, that warning when you've got a gallon left or whatever it is, just came on right as I got here. So I know it's got gas. There has to be something else. So I got out and I looked at the car and I noticed that it was parked on an incline. Ooh, okay. And I said, get in the seat, put it in neutral and let it roll about 30 feet or so. So five of us, all college educated, sitting there, watched this car roll down, and he turned the key, and it started right up. It started right up, okay? So he drove to a gas station, he filled it up, and he drove home. Now, someone might say, big deal, that was just common sense, all right? Maybe, but calling AAA when your car won't start is common sense, too. A lot of people would do that, all right? Six or seven college graduates there were standing around, saw a car that wouldn't stop, and everybody says, let's just call AAA, okay? That's something we know, all right? Meanwhile, there was a perfectly functional car with plenty of gas and a capable, qualified, licensed driver perfectly ready to do what everybody wanted it all to do, which was to get my friend home safely after having gotten him there to have a good time with his friends. Now, Here's my point. The problem was not that the car was broken, and the problem was not that there weren't enough smart people there to figure out what to do. The problem was that no one there started with the assumption that a perfect intelligence was present and that it wanted to express itself intelligently, because that's what it does. But I also want you to notice that the solution, which was always there, ready to be known, ready to be recognized, did not show up written in the stars, all right? A magic frog didn't pop up and tell us what to do, okay? Nobody went into a trance, none of that stuff. Simply by one of us making the conscious decision, all right, to be open to a better idea, a perfect answer didn't come from anywhere. A perfect answer that was already there was revealed. I love that word. It was revealed, okay? Now, it came through me, but it could have come through anybody who was open to it. I just happened to be the only one who was clear in this particular instance about what I believed possible. I was the only one who opened myself to something that we didn't know. Now, in a way, God did provide the answer. I really do believe that. But who deserves the credit? All right? And the answer to that is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, okay? God as mind had a part to play. So did God as me. So did God as a car that worked and a friend who could steer it. We were all part of the perfect outcome, which was my friend getting home quickly and easily in a car that worked perfectly, all right? And without all of these things being present, this particular solution probably would not have worked, which I know simply means that another solution would have been revealed, and I was ready for that one too. I was ready for that one too. Now, someone once said, and you've probably heard this statement, I heard it from Andrew Young, but I think John Wooden, the coach, said it, and a few others, it's amazing how much can be accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit. Great statement. Probably everyone has heard that at least once. I like it. Okay, part of the reason that we run into so many problems and struggle to find so many solutions is because we either try to do everything ourselves so we can take credit, which eventually exhausts us, or we try to let God do it all while we just sit around feeling sorry for ourselves, waiting for an answer, you know, okay, which doesn't work because God can't do anything for us that it doesn't do through us. All right, that's why that doesn't work. When we assume that an answer has to come in one particular way or from one particular place, we limit the possibility of synergy, of things working together, of different individual sources combining to create the best solution. You see, life is not just infinite variety. Life shows up in a lot of different ways, all right? Life is diverse. We are diverse. Because we are one, okay? Our body and our thoughts and our feelings are diverse. We are a blend. Going to what I talked about a couple weeks ago, we are a blend of previous results, present decisions, and future possibilities. We are a blend of previous results, present decisions, and future possibilities. Not only are we alive, we are the process of life itself, which includes thought and feeling and all those things. We are thought in motion, we are passion and expression, and we are creation in action. We are creation in action. We create our experiences, we respond to life's challenges, and only we can choose what thoughts and feelings we allow to stay in our mind. But we are these things, and we do all these things in union with God. That's what co-creation means, in union with God, which is the best thing that we can be. I mean, life is infinite variety within the one mind, and we are one with it. Emerson says this, Dr. Holmes says it, all sorts of great, the Buddha says it, all these great spiritual people do it. Life is infinite variety within the one mind, and we are one with it, all right? Or as the bumper sticker says, or the t-shirt, I've seen it, we are not all of God, but God is all we are. You've heard that statement? It's a great little mantra, so to speak. So all the power of creation, all these possible decisions are at our disposal. Infinite mind is in us, and we are in it. Once we get clear about that, then we can approach whatever problems we deal with from a pure possibility perspective instead of going, oh, geez, not that again, as a lot of us tend to respond. Now, the late great Wayne Dyer, wrote a book, one of his later books, called There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. Anybody read that? Some of you probably have it on your stack somewhere at home. And in the very beginning of the first chapter of the book, he hits something very interesting. I like the way he phrased things. He asks the question, can you make a flower grow? Interesting question. And our immediate answer may be, sure, plant a seed, water it, add a little fertilizer, whatever, and voila, there's a flower. People do it all the time. But if you think about the question a little more carefully, you start to see it a little more clearly as participating in a joint process, all right? Because God, as nature, makes a lot of different seeds, but we pick the seed that we want to plant, all right? Then we plant the seed in God's dirt because we can't make dirt, okay? If we bring it inside, all right, we water it with God's water because we can't make water, okay? There's kind of a mix here, whatever. We protect it from bugs and don't let the cat eat it. That's something we can do. And the flower grows through a spiritual process of life that we cannot change or accelerate. It just grows, okay? So we can't do it without God or Spirit, and God can't do it without us. Now, flowers grow wild in nature all the time, you may say, but you never stumble upon a rose garden in the middle of a forest. All right? It's a co-creative process. So to create something unique, it takes collaboration between the invisible thought and the visible, which is the way that thought manifests. Now, let me carry this a little further and ask a slightly different question. Can you heal a tumor? Everybody know what I'm talking about? You've got friends, you know, okay? And most people would say, oh no, only my doctor can do that. Or if they're religious, they may say, oh no, only God can do that, whatever it is. Once again, the question is, are we part of the process or are we not? All right? It's not selective, okay? Either we are or we're not. You can't do yes here and no there. We are always part of the process or we are not part of the process at all. So let's look at this the same way we look at growing the flower. Okay, just bear with me on this. Think of the sequence. God, as the birth process, creates our body 30, 40, 70, however many years ago. But over the years, we decide how to care for it. We decide what we eat, whether or not we exercise, how much stress we put ourselves through, how much smoking, drinking, and whatever we do. And God, meanwhile, as our thoughts, makes us aware of whether we feel energized, or whether we think we might need to lose a little bit of weight or change our habits or maybe just slow down. And we ignore those thoughts at our own risk. Because our body, our physical body, which is a visible reflection of our invisible spiritual energy, responds, our body responds to any lack of mental, emotional, and physical imbalance by reflecting something we call dis-ease. Lack of balance, lack of ease, okay? Which in this case shows up as a tumor. So once we have co-created it, now we want to co-uncreate it, okay? We want to heal it, all right? So the doctors we choose to go to, which is our choice, but I highly recommend it, the doctors use divine intelligence in the form of wisdom and experience and technological advances to offer their opinions and their help. But we choose our doctor, we choose our hospital, and we choose our course of treatment. And finally, Spirit or God responding to our thoughts and beliefs and maybe to our fears and confusion, if that's part of it, God manifests in our body either as health and wholeness and healing or as sickness and possible physical death. That's how it happens. That's the process. The credit for our healing or our lack of healing goes to no one. Goes to no one. The final outcome depends upon how we act and react with God, with thought, with the one mind, and all the different ways it shows up throughout the process. Now, I could go through the same sequence, I won't, talking about prosperity, talking about work and creativity, talking about relationships, all the same thing. We have a part to play, and so does God. So does God, all right? There was a great Sufi master by the name of Hazrat Khan. Sufi is the mystical aspect of Islam. And he once made the very wise statement, the solution to the problem of the day is the awakening of the consciousness of humanity to the divinity within. That's a great statement. Very powerful. Let me read it again. The solution to the problem of the day is the awakening of the consciousness of humanity to the divinity within. Now, at a personal level, we might rephrase it a little bit this way. I might say, the solution to my own personal problem du jour, whatever it is, large or small, is the awakening of my consciousness to the presence, the availability, and the willingness of the divinity within me to express itself through me and as me. That's the only place a solution can come from. The only place it can come from. In other words, if we don't recognize that this power is always there and that is it is completely capable of providing information we may not have, but that we can certainly learn, or supplying courage and strength that we haven't yet been able to find, then we aren't going to be able to work for it, worth it. If we don't stay aware of it, we won't be able to work with it. But if we do recognize it and we understand it, which is why we come and study and read, all right, and we start to accept that it can do things that we have not yet been able to do, not everything, but some really important things, as we play the part that we are meant to play, then we can begin to consciously participate in the co-creative process that we call life. Because that's where our power lies, in the co-creative process. So we need to set our ego aside. And we need to accept the help that the universe is always offering, because life can be a whole lot easier when we deal with it as a team effort. And whether we know it or not, we're on the best team there is, okay? Not the Golden State Warriors, whatever. We're on the best team there is. We're on God's team. And God is on our team. We are teammates, so to speak, okay? And when we combine our efforts to heal, to bless, to prosper, to create, whatever it is, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is, and so it is. All right, thank you. All right, let's take a moment. Just relax, get comfortable. In this moment, a lot of ideas here. Take the ones that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's just know this. The power in my life lies in what I don't yet know. So many different possibilities, the infinite variety of infinite mind, creating infinite possibility as I simply do what I am meant to do, which is open myself to something greater. So I begin to look at the world not as a fixed arrangement of molecules or a fixed arrangement of circumstances. I begin to recognize that not only is change ready to happen, that I can be an instrument of change. And I am an instrument of change, first and foremost, by changing my thoughts and beliefs, by changing my mind, by changing my focus. And as I do this, I can look at hatred and see love. I can look at war and see peace. I can look at poverty and see prosperity. I can look at pain and see joy. And what I see may not be what exists in this moment, but what I see is what can be. And as I create a space in my mind, in my consciousness, for that new and greater thing to appear, not only does it begin to change me, it changes the people around me. And we change the people around all of us. And in this way, we transform our family, our neighborhood, our city, our country, and the world. This is how we heal. This is how we heal humanity of all the many imbalances that we have created through ego and anger and separation and all these things that have no place in the mind of God. So I begin with me. I begin by looking at possibility, not certainty. I begin at looking at infinite variety rather than singularities. I begin by recognizing that this power that I share with the universe is more powerful than anything. So knowing this, I give thanks. I give thanks for all that I have been given and all that I have yet to give. And I bring this consciousness with me wherever I go. This is my spiritual atmosphere, my spiritual strength, and the power I have to change the world. I accept this truth as mine and accept it for everyone in this room, everyone in this city, and everyone on this planet. Knowing it is the truth from this moment on, please join me in saying, and so it is.